huddled together, mewling and shivering, as they stuck their heads up, lips pursed in a plea for mother's milk. Migru laughed.
That one looks like his father. But this other one, Chief, it's white. I thought all badgers had stripes.
Farrago tickled their nose tips with his knife point.
They're both males. One is a proper badger, the other is an albino. They might not be orphans today if their parents had not resisted me.
Migru watched the point of Farrago's knife.
What are you going to do with them?
The assassin shrugged and sheathed his blade.
Nothing. The winter will take care of Earthhound's whelps.
Fondling the round gold medallion he had taken from the neck of Earthhound, Farrago gave one last glance around.
Now no beast in the southwest is left to oppose me. Come on, my corpse-makers.
The weasel swept out into the wintering forest lands with his band, a smile still fixed in his beautiful light blue eyes. Behind him, in the ruins of the den, the two badger babes, one striped, the other pure white, snuggled against the cold body of their mother. They made pitiful little noises, waiting for her to wake and comfort them. Outside, the snowflakes blew gustily between tree and bush, chased by the soughing wind. It was cold, but not as cold as the smile on the face of Farrago, the assassin.
Book 1. Questers and Runaways.
Chapter 1. Many and many a long season had come and gone since that fateful midwinter day in the southwest lands. The only sound disturbing the stillness of a high summer noontide was that of seabirds plaintively calling as they wheeled and circled overhead. The vastness of the sea lay becalmed, without blemish of wave or white-crested roller, still as a mill-pond, mirroring the faded blue of a cloudless sky. Obscured in its own heat-haze, the sun blushed forth a radiant golden wash, tinting sand and rock with a soft amber glow. Above the tide-line stood the great citadel of Salamandastron, the mountainous shell that had once been a volcano when the world was young. Through countless ages it had been ruled by the mysterious badger lords and their friends the hares of the Long Patrol. The entire rock was a towering fortress, riven through with caves, passages, and halls, standing guard to protect the shores and all the sprawling country of West Mossflower. From Salamandastron's main entrance, a solitary set of paw prints led through the sand to a limpet-crusted outcrop by the sea. Perched on the stone, chin in paw, Lord Earthstripe the Strong gazed seaward, clad in his stout forge apron, devoid of armor or sword. At one with earth, sea, and sky, the badger lord sat alone with his thoughts. Mara had not been home for two nights, and he was worried. Had he done the right thing, adopting a young female badger? She was one of the few badger maids ever to live at the mountain. Traditionally, it was the preserve of single male badgers. 5 seasons ago, his hares had found her among the dunes, a tiny, whimpering babe, lost and alone. Earthstripe was overjoyed when they brought her to him. He cherished her as the daughter he had never had, but that was when she was an infant. He was a badger lord, with many things to attend to, and as she grew up, so they had drifted apart. Life presented various obstacles to Mara. She had come to resent the strict ways and regimented existence at Salamandastron. Earthstripe became awkward and severe in his dealings with her, and Mara, in her turn, was rebellious of his heavy-pawed authority. Against Earthstripe's wishes, she'd gone off 2 days ago with her close friend Pickle Folger, a young hare. Badger Lord scowled. Pickle was far too wild and erratic. Mar would never grow up to be a proper badger lady, running about with the like of that mischief-maker. But that was the way of things between them now. If he lectured her or threatened penalties, he felt like an ogre. So they avoided each other, she going her own way, and he, unhappily, having to go his. Sergeant Sapwood loped slowly across to the rock. He bobbed about shadow-boxing until Earthstripe noticed him. Sidestepping, the strong, lanky hair tucked in his chin and hooked out a left paw.
Ain't much to do out here, sir. You were coming in for something to eat. There's wild oat cakes, bilberry tart and cold cider. You ain't touched victuals since yesterday morn.
Earthstripe climbed slowly down from the rock and growled anxiously at the hare.
Any sign of Mara yet, Sergeant?
Nah, not so far. But don't you fret yourself, sir. She'll come trotting back with young Pickle soon as they're hungered enough. Do you want me to send the missy to you when she does arrive back?
No, but let me know the moment she's back home. See she gets a good meal and then send her to me.
Sapwood ducked and fainted as they made their way across the shore, swaying lightly on his paws as he circled Earthstripe.
Come on, sir. Let's see you try to put one on me button.
The badger lord tried to ignore his pugnacious friend, but Sapwood persisted.
Go on, sir. Try the old one too, eh?
Earthstripe halted, blinking as the hare bobbed and dodged under his nose.
Really, Sapwood? I'm in no mood for sport.
The sergeant dabbed a swift paw at Earthstripe's jaw.
Oh, have a go, sir. Try your luck.
For all his great bulk, the badger was surprisingly swift. He spun sideways, clipping Sapwood under the chin with what he judged to be a light tap. The sergeant was bowled over, knocked flat on his back. Instantly, the badger lord was at his friend's side, his huge, striped face showing concern.
Sap, are you all right? I didn't hurt you, did I?
Sapwood sat up. Uncrossing his eyes and rubbing his chin, he chuckled ruefully.
Bless your heart, sir. I'm as right as rain. Never saw that in coming, no. Good job you never punched your weight, or you'd have knocked me block clean off.
With their paws about each other, the two friends entered Salamandastrum, chatting and chuckling about old fights and bygone battles. Before he entered the mountain, Earthstripe could not resist casting a final, longing glance to the open country. Disappointed that he could not see Mara arriving home, he heaved a lonely sigh and followed Sapwood inside. A massive ridge of mountains created a high spine down the land east of Salamandastron. In the foothills to the south, they gave way to swamplands, which in their turn led to the dunes sweeping in from the west. The early noon sun was causing grasshoppers to chirrup and rustle in the rock-strewn foothills. Farrago, the assassin, sighted his skinning knife at one insect which was about to leap. He flicked the knife expertly. His aim was good. The keen-edged blade sliced the grasshopper in two. The knife point was still quivering in the ground as Farrago pulled it free and wiped it clean on the grass.
That's one grasshopper won't jump any more,
he chuckled.
Am I not right, Migrew?
The stoat nodded vigorously.
Aye, Chief. 'Twas a grand throw.
Farrago sheathed the weapon in the crossbelt he wore diagonally across his chest. Two other knives were encased there, each as sharp and deadly as the one he'd thrown. Smiling, he rested his paws on the broad belt supporting his short kilt of skins. He had grown taller and more sinewy than other weasels. The season seemed to lend an extra sparkle to his eyes, which were light, brilliant blue like a fresh spring sky. Beautiful, almond-shaped eyes, with deep laughter creases etching their corners. Many a stranger had met death through the deceit and vicious cruelty which lay behind those innocently smiling eyes. Every weasel, stoat, rat, ferret or fox in his army of corpse-makers knew that the more Farrago the assassin smiled, the more evil and brutal he became. His reign of terror had spread and flourished in the southwest lands until the whole country trembled with fear at his name, Farrago. This summer, he had decided to push for...